Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to start by thanking our moderator, thanking you all for attending, and then obviously thanking the APHA for giving me the opportunity to present. I'm going to be presenting on a retrospectively analyzed, prospectively collected surgical database of patients operated on in Haiti with hydrocephalus. I've been involved with this work since I was about 15 years old, and it's become quite a passion of mine over the last few years. I have no relationships to disclose. Project MediShare was founded in 1994 by University of Miami faculty, and in 2003, due to the clear need for neurosurgical services in the country, the hydrocephalus specialty surgery program was founded in Conj. The program is still to this day operated on a volunteer basis, and all supplies are either recycled or donated. So we have such a diverse panel today. I figured I would show where exactly Haiti is in the world. The red dot is Chicago. The blue dot is Miami, where I conducted my work. And we're now going to zoom into a portion of the Caribbean. As you can now see, this is the island of Hispaniola, separated by the western half, which is Haiti, and the eastern half, which is the Dominican Republic. The star is Port-au-Prince, where I've conducted most of my work. So just a few quick facts about Haiti. It's a country of extreme poverty. Their GDP per capita ranks 207th of 230 countries per the U.S. or the CIA World Factbook. And they have an unemployment rate of about 40.6%, which ranks 192nd of 207 countries per the CIA World Factbook. Of that GDP, only 9.4% is spent on healthcare, while in the United States we have a much larger GDP, and about 20% of our GDP is spent on healthcare. So hydrocephalus is a very common disease. It is an imbalance between the absorption and production of cerebral spinal fluid in the brain, which leads to an enlargement of the cerebral spinal fluid holding areas of the brain, as you can see in this picture. It's a very common disease. It occurs worldwide. In the United States, we spend about $2 billion annually treating hydrocephalus, which amounts to about 40,000 annual hospitalizations. Globally, it's estimated by the Cure Hospital of Uganda that about 80% of hydrocephalus will occur in the developing world, while only 20% occurs in the developed countries. And then as far as what's been published on hydrocephalus in Haiti, there is zero studies published right now on hydrocephalus in Haiti. There's been a variety of studies published in sub-Saharan Africa on hydrocephalus, most of them coming out of the Cure Hospital of Uganda, which was established as a neurosurgical facility, which allowed them to systematically study the etiology of hydrocephalus, some of the risk factors associated with hydrocephalus, and then the predominance of infectious hydrocephalus and the best treatment methods. So our study objectives were fourfold. Primarily, we wanted to determine the prevalence of post-infectious hydrocephalus, or PIH, among our sample population. We wanted to determine the seasonal variation, the geographic distribution, and then evaluate some of the risk factors associated with PIH in our sample population. So our sample was collected between July 31st, 2008 and March 2nd, 2015. It's compiled of about 401 patients that were all seen and operated on in Port-au-Prince, Haiti at Hospital Bernard Meves. Our outcome variable was defined as post-infectious hydrocephalus, which is characterized as no hydrocephalus at birth and then either a history of fever or seizures preceding the onset of hydrocephalus and then endoscopic or imaging findings indicative of prior infections. And then our non-post-infectious hydrocephalus group, which is composed of hydrocephalus due to all other causes, such as aqueductal stenosis, congenital, or myelomeningocele, and then other diagnoses like tumors, congenital anomalies, and then importantly, the unassigned etiologies were also placed into this group. So we performed a variety of statistical analyses on our sample frequencies, means, univariate and multivariate logistic regressions, all was done using SAS 9.3 with a type 1 error rate of 0.05. So on to the results. When we examined our data by head circumference and age, we see that our mean head circumference is about 55 centimeters and our mean age is about 15.1 months. On the histogram on the right, you see the red line overlaying. That is the normal distribution of head circumferences for a child of 15.1 months. So you can see that clearly the patients we're seeing have much, much larger heads than would be expected for a normal child of that age. And when we analyzed circumference by age, we were able to create a categorical variable placing these children into five different categories represented by their head circumference compared to the normal range for a child of that age. We created five categories: normal, mild, medium, severe, and very severe. And you see that almost 70% of our patients are presenting with very severe head circumferences, which is defined as above, more than 6 centimeters above the 95th percentile for a child of that age. So these are very severe cases of hydrocephalus that we're seeing. And then we evaluated PIH, our outcome of interest, compared to all of the etiologies. We see the red bar is our PIH cases, and each year we see a very high proportion of our cases are PIH. And then, interestingly, the black bar is the other category, which is mostly made up of unassigned etiologies. And it's nice to see that over the years we've been able to improve our data collection methods and actually assign etiologies to most of our patients. So that bar declines as we get to present day. And when we compare the rainy and the dry season, we created two categorical variables, one being the rainy season, which is April to October, and one being the dry season, which is November to March. And we placed our patients into these based on date of birth. We see that each year we consistently see a very high percentage of PIH patients born in the rainy season. And then when we evaluated our location of birth for our patients, we see we have a very diverse sample population. We treat patients from every arrondissement across the country and even from islands off the coasts. So this isn't necessarily just a disease of urban or rural origins. It's spread very widely across the entire country. So we performed our univariate and multivariate logistic regressions with PIH as our outcome of interest, and we had three statistically significant results based on our odds ratios, the most important being the coastal versus inland birth location. We have two great odds ratios for our univariate and multivariate analyses, showing that there might be an association between a coastal birth location and the outcome of interest, being PIH. So onto our discussion in conclusion. We saw very high rates of post-infectious hydrocephalus. About 40% of our total cases were presenting with post-infectious hydrocephalus, which is in agreement with work done in sub-Saharan Africa. And then when, again, looking at rainy season, we have, again, very high rates of rainy season births, no matter what group you're looking at, either all PIH or non-PIH. About 60% of our PIH patients were born in the rainy season, which is also in agreement with work done in sub-Saharan Africa. And here you see we have, again, very diverse birth locations, but also very diverse locations of PIH. Of the 13 birth locations that had greater than two patients, PIH was the most frequent or tied for most frequent in 10 of those birth locations. And again, it's spread across the entire country. And then we also created categorical variables to define geography of birth. We created a coastal birth location, which was defined as fewer than 5 kilometers to the coast, inland birth location, which is defined as greater than 5 kilometers away from the coast, and then coastal slash inland, which was an area too large to categorize into either. And you see consistently, we see about 20 to 25% of our patients are born in an inland location. And then interestingly, when you look at our PIH group, the red bar, we see about almost 50% of our cases are born in a strictly coastal birth location. So comparing this study to the work that's been done in sub-Saharan Africa, we see similar rates of post-infectious hydrocephalus at about 40%. And we also see similar rates of the rainy season, which it was shown that there was an association between the rainy season in sub-Saharan Africa and post-infectious hydrocephalus. And then there are a variety of differences between these two studies. The Cure Hospital of Uganda was founded as a strictly neurosurgical facility, which allowed them to systematically detail and study hydrocephalus over many years. And then also they always have a U.S.-trained neurosurgeon on staff or at the time of publishing these studies, while our project is completely on a volunteer basis, so we only have physicians on site when we are down there actually operating on children. And then because of the nature of the hospital that was founded, they were able to have very efficient reporting and follow-up techniques, and they also have a great deal more funding. There are a few strengths with our study. Obviously, as I said before, it is the first documented study on hydrocephalus in Haiti. We have a very diverse sample population. We don't only see patients from Port-au-Prince. We see children from all across the country. And then we have a fairly robust sample size. Collecting data back from 2008, we have about 400 patients. And then limitations, as I mentioned, we've had poor data collection methods. The database that I analyzed was originally founded as strictly a surgical database just to monitor the amount of operations being performed. So very few demographics, if any, were collected in the beginning. And then we have a biased sample. Our sample was made up of children whose parents recognized that they have a neurological disorder. They heard that we were going to be in town. They were able to travel to Port-au-Prince, and then they were selected to be operated on by our physicians. So there's a lot of inherent bias in that. And I think the public health implications for this are really wonderful. I mean, as far as a global health application, if we're seeing about 40% of our patients, which is in agreement with the rates in a very different location across the world, are presenting with this infectious version of the disease, it presents an incredible opportunity to implement a primary prevention to avoid these infectious versions of the disease and hopefully reduce the burden of hydrocephalus in the country by up to 40%. And then we have very little community outreach, knowledge, and follow-up. You would hope that, after working in a country on a specific disease for almost 10 years, you would see some sort of decline in indicators, which would, indicate an increase in knowledge. Maybe, we see patients at an earlier stage, we see patients at a less severe stage, but that really isn't the case with our patients, so that's kind of sad to hear. And then also, we need to improve neurosurgical training in the country. We can go down and continue to operate on these children on a monthly basis as we have been, or we can provide them with the resources and the knowledge to perform these operations themselves and really treat these patients on a continuous basis. Future research and directions. We have IRB approval to implement a REDCap database to improve our data collection methods. And then as far as investigating the etiology of PIH, I think work needs to be done into the seasonal variation and the geographic variation that was shown to potentially play a role in PIH. And then we have an IRB approved study to investigate the bacterial association of post-infectious hydrocephalus in this country. I'd like to thank my wonderful mentor, Dr. Talai Sengol, Dr. John Ragab, Dr. Sarah Jernigan, and then all the other physicians of the specialty surgery program who donated their time and efforts in Haiti. Thank you very much.